Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on Tuesday's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing group of people that we're going to introduce you to today. But like always, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, Monday through Friday, every day of the week, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone in your neighborhood, in your house, maybe across the country that you know, but maybe they're starting a business. They're a new entrepreneur. Maybe just there's just someone who needs advice and guidance on their life and their business, but they won't have this information unless you go ahead and share the show with them. So now is the time to text it, tweet it, post it, but let your network know that the Roundtable Talk Show is live. So while you're going ahead and introducing the show to your network and your friends, I'm going to introduce a dear friend of mine. You've seen him here before on the Roundtable Talk Show quite a few times, but he also had a Roundtable Talk Show strictly with his team. And we learned a lot about what's going on in the world of Ask Us For Anything. I want to welcome Sir Sanju to the show. For over 10 years, Ganglani, I say it wrong. I have to fix it every time, Sir Sanju. That's why I don't say it. But media has been serving the global business community across Canada, USA, Europe, and Africa. They specialize in serving B2B and B2C clients requiring assistance in marketing, traditional and digital, with primary focus on search engine optimization, search engine marketing, social media, design, branding, print, website development, and most importantly, consulting. Good morning, Sir Sanju. How are you?
Good morning. I think next time we're going to summarize and say, we make you money. And just leave it at that.
I like it. But say the company name because I butchered it. I destroyed it. And that's horrible.
Good. It's Ganglani Media.
Okay.
Or we shorten it to just GNL Media to make it easy.
Okay. Next time you come back, and I hope you're already scheduled, it's going to be GNL Media.
Done. Sold.
I love when you're on the show. I always tell people I actually know an actual knight, Sir Sanju. And I know we always tell that story, but can you tell us briefly about how you became a knight?
Sure. So I went to war in 1812. Okay.
Ooh, sir.
So essentially, our big philosophy or big part of our business is, you know, really being able to get back to communities and get back to uplifting others. I always tell, you know, people that if I could, I'd just run this whole thing for free and just let people, you know, help people grow their businesses and help them get to where they need to be to see success. Through our work, we started working a lot with women entrepreneurs, women in school who needed scholarships and helping them get that boost, and people with just ideas that didn't really know what to do with it. And especially in the past year or so, where, you know, people would either have a really great idea but didn't have the resources or the know-how how to make that happen, or had reached a point in their business where they kind of plateaued and they didn't quite know how to move it forward. We were offering a lot of free consulting and assistance with that, even on the work side of it. And about 2019, I believe it was, a lot of that was recognized, and, you know, I was fortunate to have been knighted, for the work that we do in the community and across the world. So it was a really, cool experience, very unexpected. Especially because 2 years before that, my wife won a Philanthropist of the Year award from another organization. So it's kind of nice to see things come to fruition and see things be recognized, though it wasn't really expected.
No, you and your wife work together, correct?
Yes, she's the boss.
I was about to ask how that's working, but I think you just answered my question.
Yep, she's the boss.
We have to get her on the show. What is it going to take to get the missus on the show?
I will work on it. I'll get her on the next one or two. I'll get her on.
Yes, because we always have the opportunity to ask you questions about how it is to work together and how it is to have this business while you work with your wife, but we never hear her side of it.
Well, I always say that we're both extremely blessed that we're flexible with each other in the way that we have an understanding, right? And we're able mm-hmm. to, give each other the freedom and the bandwidth to do what we need to do, no matter where that appears or how that comes to us.
So where do you see GNL Media going? What is your end goal?
So it's been a really interesting in a few months, I'd say, right? As things are starting to reopen and as people are starting to think of their business again in terms of how to grow it and get back in the game. We've seen a lot of larger brands kind of come to the table now, clothing brands, healthcare practices, that are really kind of now looking for how do we kind of take it to the next level or get that edge on everybody else out there, right? So, with a lot of our clients, as much as, some of them did cut budgets, what we did is we helped them keep it in strategic places, right? So, I think ensuring that ROI is happening, that money is being well spent, that there's a strategy to come out ahead in the next 6 to 8 months is really sort of what we're seeing people kind of asking and trying to figure out with us right now.
Fantastic. Now, Sir Sanju, I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our very next guest, Ms. Nelly Akout. Nelly is a passionate entrepreneur, business expert, professional speaker, author, and mother of four. She is the founder and CEO of CorpNet.com, a trusted resource and service provider for business incorporation, LLC filings, and corporate compliance services in all 50 states. Good morning, Nelly. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me here. What a great, great group of people to be a part of, and truly, truly humbled to be here this morning.
Well, I am humbled to have you. One of the things that people start off with when they want to do a business is they don't know about the filings. They don't know whether they should be an LLC, a corporation. What's the difference between a C corp, S corp? What do all these things mean? And usually, and correct me if I'm wrong, Nelly, people don't find out the difference until it's too late.
That's absolutely correct. And here at CorpNet, our company makes it very simple and easy and provides guidance to entrepreneurs and even business professionals representing clients who need to set up a corporation or LLC, or if even they have a corporation or an LLC and they need to expand it in any of the other states. Right now, with the pandemic, we're seeing a lot of business owners expanding remotely in multiple states and having to want to run payroll in other states because either the employee has moved or the business has expanded. So, with our company, they're able to do this very quickly and affordably because truly you don't need a lawyer. Having been a lawyer myself and never practiced law a day in my life, you don't need
That's
a
a
lawyer.
story. We're going to need to hear that story.
You really don't need to have a lawyer to draft these filings for you to file them with the state. You can do it very quickly and affordably and easily online with a reputable provider such as our company, CorpNet, and really save the money to where you really need that legal help and use it when you really need legal help. So we make the filing super easy for you. We have experts standing by to help you, provide you with guidance, business consultations. Obviously, we can't provide you with legal, tax, and financial advice. However, we can guide you towards the direction that you need to go based on the hundreds of thousands of clients that we've already assisted.
Now, Nelly, you mentioned that you are a lawyer. You were a lawyer, though you never practiced. How did you wind up here at founding CorpNet?
So I owe that to my husband and business partner. Just like Sanju, I work with my husband of over 24 years. And we both went to law school and we graduated from different law schools. He came up with the idea of helping businesses and providing the service online while I was in my last year of law school. And what happened for me was basically I realized that I was really not one to want to go the route of practicing law, and I really wanted to become an entrepreneur. And frankly, the entry level salary for a lawyer at the time we graduated really wasn't gonna suffice as far as the plans we had for raising a family and having a large family. As such, we decided to just get into business and start a business right off the bat and basically started CorpNet in 1997.
Wow. So you have been in business for years. That is amazing. Congratulations. Not many people have the ability to stand the test of time.
Actually, we started our first company, which was a different filing service in 1997, and then sold that company to where it was nearly doing over a gross, you know, lot of dollars per month in sales. And then in 2005, we sold that company to a publicly traded company and took some time off, and then decided to start all over again with CorpNet in 2009.
Wow, even from 2009 to have a business for that long. Congratulations, I applaud you. And it, I can see Nelly said, it just, I can't even mention how much money we sold it for. Just know that we sold it and we made a lot of money. Now, Nelly, I am gonna come back to you, but I wanna go ahead and introduce our next guest, the lovely Miss Sagan Morrow. Sagan teaches busy, time-crunched solopreneurs how to build their own successful home-based businesses without the overwhelm through her online courses and business resources at SaganMorrow.com. She specializes in productivity tips and action-oriented strategic planning for multi-passionate creatives. Sagan has over a decade of experience as a freelance writer and editor and hosts the Indie Author Weekly podcast. Good morning, Sagan. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me here. This is so lovely.
Yes, we have to learn all about you, Sagan. What are you passionate about?
Well, I am very passionate about teaching about productivity because I myself am extremely multi-passionate. I started out as a freelancer over a decade ago. And at the time, you know, I was really growing my business and working with a lot of different clients. And I was really enjoying the opportunity to work on so many different projects, right? Just being able to write about so many different types of industries and have this really great opportunity to learn about different industries as well. And so over the years, I started getting a lot of questions from other people who wanted to also start their own freelance writing businesses. And as a result, I ended up actually writing the book on it, The Business of Writing and Editing. And from there, you know, people really loved that book. And then they were asking me more questions. So I began teaching online courses about how to work from home productively. And so my business has really just sort of evolved from that point, where I now teach primarily about productivity. I also write polyamorous romantic comedy novels.
I just went a different direction.
I'm very multi-passionate.
I can see. I'm trying to figure out how much I want to ask about this book. Maybe later in the show, after we know each other better, I'll ask more questions. Let's go back into the safe territory of helping businesses and entrepreneurs. Now, you mentioned the business of writing and editing. What do you consider the business of it?
Yeah, so that's really all about how to actually create really strong foundations for your business. So I really teach a lot about figuring out what we really want from our personal lives and making sure that we create businesses that are structured to support our personal lifestyle goals, our personal values, all of that kind of thing. So really looking at working from the ground up with our businesses, having a really strong foundation, and then playing with things and growing it from there.
Okay. So over the past year, we've seen more people work virtually than in the history of the world. What are some of the key strategies that you recommend for people who this is new to them, but yet they still want to be productive?
You know, I think one of the most important factors is keeping in mind that when we are looking at productivity and time management, it's all really rooted in energy management. And so we've all experienced this entire thing over this past year with the pandemic, where collectively all of our energy levels are just have taken a huge nosedive, right? So it's really about looking at how can I make sure that I am boosting my energy and working on projects that really lift me up. I mean, it doesn't really matter how many hours we save in a day or in a week or in a month if we're too exhausted or burned out to actually use those hours, right? So I really like to work with my clients to help them figure out What types of things energize me? What like lifts me up? How can I restructure my entire schedule, perhaps, to make use of those times of day when I do have more energy and more creativity and work on tasks that require higher amounts of energy during those particular times?
No, I completely agree. And I think part of it is one of my favorite, my dad's favorite expressions is know thyself. He always says that know thyself. Like he thinks he's an old wise man, but I've learned to know myself. And I tell people all the time, like, if you really want my attention, you have to catch me before noon, like literally, because after about 2 o'clock, my brain, because I've been up about since about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. So I know I'm more of a morning person. I can focus, I can engage, especially if you want me to be creative and consult and think of an idea. Let's do it early in the morning, because I phase out later, the later we go. Now, Sagan, I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our very next guest, Mr. Khan Apostolopoulos. Khan is the founder and CEO of Fresh Biz Solutions, an HR consulting group that provides performance improvement and training solutions to help organizations develop their people, improve business results, and get the most from their talent management strategy. Good morning, Khan. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. What a pleasure to be here with you, and what a great group of people to be with.
Yes, everyone's so interesting and diverse. I love that. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do?
Great question. After all of these guys, I don't know if I can match that, but I'll try.
Everyone says that.
Well, I'm somebody who's passionate about helping individuals and organizations really achieve their goals. And like everybody here, I think I wear a lot of different hats in order to do that. I'm a business owner that has a boutique operation by the name of Fresh Biz Solutions, as you mentioned. And it's a company that was founded on a very simple principle that good ideas from one area can be applied to other areas and help different organizations, different departments, and different teams. One of the other hats I wear is that of an author. So Sagan, you and I probably need to catch up at some point. While my friends were binge watching Netflix after the shutdown a year ago, a friend of mine and I sat down and wrote a book titled The 7 Keys to Navigating a Crisis. And it's a practical guide about how to emotionally deal with pandemics and other disasters. So we spent a good chunk of time trying to help people through that process and help them process their own emotions and deal with the situation in very practical ways. I'm a consultant and I'm a veteran of the change leadership and performance improvement industry, somebody who's had experience in large organizations within the Fortune 100 sphere, with privately held but large corporations, very complex organizations, but also working in smaller areas. In that, I specialize in human capital management or talent management, as many people call it. I'm also a coach, and when I'm not coaching executives, I coach little kids. I coach sports, I coach soccer, especially with young girls. And my mission from that perspective is to give back to my community and be able to kind of influence another generation, the next generation, the future of our society, and help them build the skills that they need to be successful, both from a leadership perspective, from their ability to self-advocate, discover what's important to them, and set their goals at an early age to be successful from that piece. I'm somebody who is, I consider myself, I guess, a citizen of the world because I've lived and traveled to 4 different continents over my lifetime. But right now I'm living the American dream here the last 25 years. If my name didn't give it away, I'm Irish. No, I'm actually kidding. I'm actually very Greek from that perspective. So I've traveled around. I come from a multicultural background and a lot of different perspectives from that piece, but I also recognize how beautiful this country is and how much opportunity it presents itself for us to make a difference. But more importantly, the hats that I wear are that of husband and father.
You can't just stop there, just pause. I thought we were going to get a story, husband and father. Let's hear about that.
Well, I'm a father of a beautiful daughter that is just started as a freshman in college. And she's part of this 2020 generation that was first impacted by the great pause. And I think that she is probably the one that's influenced me the most, both to write the book, but also to really understand the concepts of what I was writing about and how this impacts people. My daughter could have been sitting around feeling like a victim throughout this whole process, missing out on her last year of school, not knowing that, you know what, This is the last time I'm going to actually set foot in my classroom and in the halls here. After 12, 13 years, where's my closure of all of this stuff? Where's my walk to get my certificate, my prom? But you know what? She taught me some very valuable lessons that I've incorporated in our book. And she showed me how to truly be a navigator during these times. So I have so much faith and so much hope in this next generation that's coming up.
That is powerful. Have you ever done radio or do you have a podcast?
No, do you have a job for me?
Yes, I do. I'll create one for you. But you know, you have the voice. It's just like mesmerizing the way you speak. So I was like, you have to have a podcast or something.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Maybe we can talk about that.
We'll definitely talk about that after the show. But I want to go over to Nelly real quick, because Khan talked about his daughter and how she responded to this global pandemic. And you're a mother of four, Nelly. So what are the age ranges and how did you deal with it?
So I have pair of twins, 19-year-old, which again, just like Khan, they were part of this whole global pandemic and 2020 graduates and were affected very much by this pause. And their boy girl twins who are 19, and you know, they didn't get to have their, you know, normal graduation ceremony or go to the prom, and it was a big loss for them and it was a big loss for all of us. I remember vividly the night where we all sat in my husband's office as they were reading the graduates on the screen on Zoom, you know, and wow. I remember just crying my eyes out, and my kids were looking at me and they're like, "Mom, why are you crying?" And it was just very surreal for me. I get a little emotional.
Oh, don't do that. I'm sending you love from here, from Southern California. I'm sending it. I know what you're going through, because they don't know what they're missing out on. They don't know that feeling that it is to walk across the stage. So they have nothing to compare it to, yeah. But you do. You know, yeah. What that moment is supposed to feel like.
I didn't know that it's going to affect me, you know, so much. It's been rough. It's been very rough. But you know, my kids are very resilient, and they've been pushing through. My daughter, you know, she was a 4.7.
Oh wow!
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. Do you want me to move on or do you want to finish? Because I just appreciate you being authentic, because I'm telling you, parent, the one thing that has affected more people than just their business or entrepreneurship is the families, you know?
Yeah, it's really affected my family a lot. And, you know, we're very close family, and, but it's affected us a lot. My daughter, you know, she was a 4.7 and she was on our dance team, and she got accepted to many different universities. And at one point we enrolled her in TCU, which is in Texas, and we were going to move out there. And then with the uncertainty of the pandemic, we just decided it may not be in the best interest of the entire family. So we stayed home, and because my other two kids, I have a boy who's 17 and a little girl who's 9. And it was just very hard on all of our family. My other 19-year-old twin, he was, you know, he's a musician. So he was going to music academy. And it's just been really hard on every one of us, from the standpoint that we've all kind of you know, developed different kind of addictions from it. You know, my daughter has developed a very, very severe anxiety disorder, whereby, you know, she's very, very anxious and it's getting treatment for it. But, you know, I think the pandemic has lent itself to her, you know, being really, really just sick and anxious, and sometimes not trusting what she puts in her mouth, you know, and she thinks every time she eats, you know, she's going to get sick. I just was diagnosed with severe, heavy post-traumatic stress disorder. Sorry to hear that. And you know what? It's and I'm very open and honest about, you know, my issues, because I think everyone needs to hear about it. But I've you know, I guess this whole last year, I've been, you know, so traumatized and kind of compartmentalizing everything in different compartments to try to kind of, you know, push forward. And it's finally catching up to me, you know, and it's resulting itself and showing itself and manifesting itself in no sleeping, excessive working, loss of sleep, loss of appetite, severe weight loss. And so I think we're all going through it and kind of manifesting it differently. And I think at the end of the day, you know, what I look at it is, you know, I'm not by any means trying to, you know, condone any sort of religion here whatsoever. Everybody has their own higher power. But I feel personally that this whole thing has an end game to it, whereby, you know, we're all going to come out some way or another stronger and more resilient and better in you know, our own shape and form, you know, because I feel that there is a plan out there, you know, and whatever is supposed to happen is going to happen. And, you know, you walk this walk, you know, whether it's a walk of shame or walk of happiness or walk of whatever it is, but you walk it because there's something at the end for you to gain. And we wouldn't be here if we weren't meant to be here. So
I definitely agree. And you were meant to be here this morning, because I just appreciate you being so vulnerable and so authentic, because everything I share a lot. And sometimes people say, Sharifa, you overshare. And I'm like, no, I just want to share what I'm going through, because I know there's someone out there who's going through the same thing. So Nelly, just by you sharing, I guarantee you there's someone out there who had the freedom to feel whatever it is that they were feeling. Because one of the things that has happened is there's been more awareness of PTSD. Prior to COVID, people would think only vets are affected by PTSD. Now, everyone in the world, this is a global pandemic, has been affected in some form or fashion by this global pandemic. So I'm just sending you love. I'm sending you a big virtual hug to you.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Sanju, when you hear Nelly speak, you're a father. What are your thoughts?
I think you hit it right on the head, where it's they don't know what they're missing, right? It's not understanding that there is something else they should be doing or being a part of, right? So I have young ones. My daughter's turning 7 next month. My son just turned 3. So, you know, from their perspective, it's, you know, my 3-year-old's at home, right? And kind of sucks, because he doesn't quite understand that there is actually another side that he should be experiencing. And, you know, to send them into a Montessori or whatever, it doesn't make sense at this point, right? Just from everyone else potentially being affected. And my eldest just literally started school 2 days ago, mm-hmm. right? Because we've kind of kept her home again, just because it's unknown, right? And it sucks for her, because she, you know, you slowly see that online class size decrease, and she's like, well, why can't I go in? Or, you know, oh, there's only one person left online. And, you know, so it sucks, right? And again, it's not as bad. You know, I mean, Nelly, I feel for you, because I totally get it. And I mean, I would be the same, right? It's just, it's not a nice feeling, right? Especially you feel bad because like you experienced it and now they can't experience it. And I mean, I can only imagine how you feel. And then, you know, the same thing like Sharifa. I mean, my love and my hugs and everything out to you guys. And I hope, you know, everything pans out the way it should.
It's a big loss, from the sense that, you know, we can't, you know, for example, I have a 9-year-old, and, you know, my nine-year-old has created this online group of friends. And although we try to balance it out for them and we try to balance as much as we can, the problem is that even if don't have our reservations of having friends over and allowing friends to come here, and even while they're at our house, to maintain social distancing, you know, the parents of the other kid may have certain reservations. So it's been a big loss for my daughter, in that, you know, now she's resorted to gaming online, and, you know, and we kind of look at it and we go, well, how can we prevent her from not doing that? You know, all her friends are online, and this is her way of kind of connecting with her friends. But at the same time, as this is happening, it's a loss for us because we see her kind of just, you know, online with her friends. And, you know, she has older brothers and sisters that are about 10 years apart from her. So it's a little bit harder for her because she'll be like, well, you know, they're not here, they're out, you know, what do you expect me to do? So it's just all in all, you try to make the best out of it, but you have to pick your battles too, you know? And for us, you know, we're just taking it one day at a time. It's been a big shock. I really feel like I'm in a nightmare still to this day. When I walk out and I'm wearing a mask and I see everybody else, I kind of wonder to myself, like, are we ever going to go back to norm? Is there going to be a normality? What is the norm? What is the new normal? You know, how is it going to be? So it's, you know, you have all these things that kind of go through your head.
Absolutely.
And Nelly, let me jump in if I may, Sharifa. In researching the book that we wrote about the pandemic and about the emotional reaction that we have on this with my partner, some of the things that came out, and it's important to understand that what you're describing is a very large spread issue. The pandemic fatigue is real. The concerns are real. The World Health Organization was reporting probably more than 1 billion people that were registering new cases of anxiety, stress, depression, all of them related to this whole thing. Some of the biggest things that come out of this is realizing that first and foremost, part of our coping mechanism is that understanding that there is a difference between danger and fear. And I would encourage you and all of our listeners to understand the difference. Danger is very real. The possibility of getting infected from the disease or suffering the consequences of that, mild or otherwise, are very real. So we need to take precautions. What you're doing is the right thing as far as using common sense, wearing your mask when you need to, social distancing, doing the things that we know work. The problem is that too many times we allow our fear to jump in and kind of we make fear-based decisions, which are not always the right ones. So much of what happens is our emotional response to this fear that we are experiencing. And sometimes, like I was talking about, we react as a victim, and sometimes we feel like we're the only one that's being impacted by this. And we start getting into that frame of mind where, why is this happening to me? Why is the world conspiring against me? And we feel like a victim. Or sometimes we get into more aggressive mode and we start criticizing. Well, why do I have to wear my mask? Or why shouldn't everybody be wearing their mask? And we start criticizing no matter what. Or we get into this freeze mode of the bystander where we say, okay, you know what? I'm just going to wait and see what Sanju does. And then I'm going to jump in. I'm just going to hang back here and see what happens. But truly, the way to look at the situation and try to regain some sense of control in all of this and some balance in what you're seeking is to become a navigator. That fourth response that we're seeking. And that's really assessing what's happening around me. What's good and bad about this change? How can I deal with this individually or with others? Can we work together with this? We've started playing a lot more, for example, games around the table at night. So we kind of bond together as a family. Or wherever I can take a walk outside, I'll take the dogs, I'll take my daughter. We catch up during the day and we kind of walk through that whole process. Or we just coexist in the same space, walking in the same direction, listening to our own stuff, maybe Sharifa's podcast or some of her information on there and just going through that process. But knowing that you're not alone is important. Knowing that you have a support system is important. And knowing that there is a tomorrow. But I caution you to understand that it's not going to be the old normal. What we're going into is the next normal. And yeah. After that, there's going to be another next normal. Yeah. You know, I come from a land where the civilization is 4,000 plus years old. And my ancestry.
I understand because I come from very close to where you came from.
Persian?
Yes.
I figured. But part of that is you understand that in our cultures, one of the big sayings is that you can never cross the same river twice because you are never the same person and the river has moved on. And it's understanding that there's going to be a next normal and then another next normal and then another next normal. And the minute you understand that, your expectations change. Children are very resilient. I can guarantee you that. I work with 10-year-old girls out there on the soccer pitch, and many times I watch them and they adapt to wearing masks, to not wearing masks. Most of the time, it's us that struggle with this. For them, they are extremely adaptable, and I would give you cause for optimism that your daughter will learn from this. She will probably value the important things, the time that she does have with her friends, as we will all, because there is a lesson. You're absolutely right. There is a big takeaway that we have from this. We've learned about what matters most to us.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Sagan, I see you there smiling, nodding, being patient. I always tell people on the roundtable talk show, if you're waiting for your turn to speak, it might be a while. What are your thoughts, Sagan?
Oh, I've just been, you know, I feel like what everyone's saying here is very powerful, right? I'm just sitting back listening to all of this really, really important stuff. But I definitely feel that, you know, yeah, what you've all been saying is so, so true. And really, like, when we are going through these types of things, to acknowledge and accept how we feel, right? And what we are going through. I think so often we tend to try to avoid what we're feeling because it is raw and it's painful and it's really hard. But what I often teach my productivity clients is that we can't overcome our obstacles and what we're feeling unless we really identify exactly what it is, right? And unless we really accept and acknowledge it and almost lean into it and feel it. And then we can start to sort of handle it, right? So in that sense, it's often around, you know, procrastination and perfectionism and all these types of things, all these fear-based types of issues, right? And really digging deep to understand what is going on here and what can I do in this moment that I can have some semblance of control over, right? What can I do at this particular time just to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Sir Sanju, what are your thoughts?
It's so true, right? And we see it everywhere. We see it with our parents, we see it with our kids, we see it with our neighbors, you know, and I think, you know, even beyond us in our age group, I really think it's our parents and the elderly that are really, unfortunately, like, you know, you reach that age, you're like, this is not what I thought my life would be, right? You know, I'd be hanging with my kids, hanging with my grandkids, you know, and, you know, having that restriction that, you know, you can't travel, you can't do anything. And then that onset of loneliness. And I think that's where, you know, me at least, you know, like Nelly, we're very, very close family. And, you know, for me, it's very much, you know, what do you mean I can't go see my parents? What do you mean I can't, you know, the kids can't hug them? And, you know, so it's, if anything, I think it's really toughest for them. And again, just because as you grow up and as you go through your life, you always have this picture of retirement and this picture of what it's going to be like, right? And it's unfortunate. It's been stolen from them, right?
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree, because you were just reminding me, one of my dear friends, I always talk about Mrs. Sally Martin, and she is literally 99 years old. She will be 100 years old in December, and I'm praying she has a few years left on this earth. But I really believe that had it not been for COVID, those years would have been a lot longer. Mm-hmm. She used to, prior to COVID, she used to go to the senior citizens club, wherever their meeting was. She used to go to yoga. She used to walk a mile each way every day. And she has been forced to sit in the house and do basically absolutely nothing. She talks on the phone. She calls me 8 times a day just to talk about what she had for lunch. But what was interesting is about 7 months ago, I was trying to help her and give her advice. I said, what you need to do is get some kind of type of exercise that you can do in the house. Maybe you can go to YouTube, watch some of the exercise videos, or maybe get a stationary bike. And she's like, no, I don't want to do it. It'll be fine. Yesterday, she calls me and was like, you know, I didn't think this pandemic was going to last this long. Can you look for a stationary bike for me? And I was like, yes, I'll look for it. But in my head, I'm like, okay, it's been a year. You know what I mean? I don't know if this stationary bike is going to help now, but, you know, I'll look for it. So I know through this whole pandemic, she has just been struggling.
I fully agree. If you don't mind, can I change the topic a little bit?
I don't mind at all. That's what we do at the Roundtable Talk Show.
you know, all of us obviously help new companies or startups or people grow their businesses. I was wondering what all of your, you know, when someone comes to you with a new business, what's your number one tip to them?
Where would you like to start? Oh, Nellie, go ahead.
I always look at them and I say, you know, just are you passionate about what you want to start doing? You know, because it really starts with passion, in my opinion. I don't look at my job as a job, and it's never like a job for me because I love what I do. So it's really easy to, you know, stay up till 3 a.m. or get up at 5 a.m. because when you love what you do, it really is not considered work. And when you love what you do, it comes out very authentically. And as a result, you know, whoever is on the other end wanting to purchase your product is very convinced to do business with you, even if it's a higher price point than your competitor. And I think it has to do with that authenticity and genuineness that goes along with it. So for me, you know, the first thing I always ask anybody who wants to start a business, because, you know, I have entrepreneurs in my house. You know, my kids are all entrepreneurs and they're always coming up with new business ideas. Hey, mom, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And the first thing I always ask them is, are you willing to give it all you've got, stay up all day and night, all night, and do what it takes to make it, you know, grow and become a success, even at the expense of, you know, letting go of social life for a little bit, you know, and are you so convinced that it's such a great idea that you would buy it yourself, you know, or you would use it yourself? So I really think it boils down to passion as the starting point.
I love that word passion. That's why I always ask the guests on the show, what are you passionate about? As a business consultant, the number one question I'm often asked, because people want to cheat. They want a little cheat sheet. So they say, Sharifa, what is the one business, if I start this business, I'm just going to make a lot of money, or I'm just going to be successful? What business am I guaranteed to be successful? What business is guaranteed to work? And I always say, it's the one business you're willing to do day in and day out. That's the one that will work. That's the one that will be successful. I love to hear your thoughts, Khan.
I don't normally work with startups and entrepreneurs that's starting out early on, but when the occasion that I am asked about my advice, Sanju, like Nellie said, I do ask them about what they're passionate about, but I generally continue with a series of dumb questions that kind of prompt them to think about this. I'd rather be the one that kind of pokes holes in their idea. And that's part of the reason why they come to me from a very practical standpoint. Many of the young people that I've worked with in the last couple of years that have come to me for advice along those lines, we sit down and we talk through that. Again, what are you passionate? Why are you doing this? Why? What does this represent? If you're just doing it for a quick buck, that's not going to take you very far. But if you're looking at it, ask those questions. What is it that you're trying to accomplish? Who are you trying to serve? How is this going to help them? How are you going to get from point A to point B? Asking all of those practical questions that those of us that have been in business for many, many years understand are inevitable. Just because you think it's a good idea, you still need an audience to be able to get to that. Otherwise, if Sharifa didn't believe that her message would get out there, she'd be just sitting in her basement, just talking to herself in the mirror. But because she knows that her message and the audience that she represents is interested in what people have to say, she brings us on board and we have that conversation. You need to have an understanding of why you're doing it and how is this going to help others? How is this going to serve? If you're in business, are people going to buy your product or your service? Are they willing to pay for that? Are they going to see the same value? And if you start with that in mind, with that end in mind of how am I going to serve others? How am I going to provide value to others? That's a great place for you to be able to go into as an entrepreneur.
Yes, I love it. Say again.
Yeah, I totally agree. The way that I often describe it is what makes your heart happy, right? I really encourage my clients to start from that sort of standpoint in terms of what do you love doing? What's really enjoyable to you? The other side of the coin that I feel very strongly about is also to make your own rules, to really customize strategies. Rather than copying and pasting exactly what we see other businesses doing, you know, instead get inspiration, ideas, guidance from them, and then make sure that we are customizing everything to really fit what works for us. There is no one perfect platform or one perfect technique that's going to work for everyone, because we are all unique human beings. Our businesses are all different and unique. And therefore, the more that we can tweak things and personalize them to our situations, the more that we're going to stay motivated to keep moving forward. And also the more that our businesses are going to stand set apart, like be set apart from the others, right? Rather than, again, just having these sort of cookie cutter businesses, really thinking about what do I actually want? What will make the most sense for me? What feels really good? And then moving forward from there.
Yes, I love it. Sanju, what's your response to your question?
Usually, I mean, they're brilliant. Everyone's response. Thank you. For me, it's very much I believe in how you live your life and how you do things. So for me, it's really about not necessarily what you're doing, but how you're doing it. And understanding that there, like everyone said, there is no shortcut. There is no easy way to do this. You know, it takes work. It takes time. But the key is, as long as you're doing it in a way that is ethical, or you're okay with, just don't give up, because there's going to be so many opportunities to give up. And that's sort of the real test of it, is if you're getting into this, you need to get into this, with your shield and your armor, and just don't give up.
Okay, so we're going to go in yet a different direction. Now, Sir Sanju, we're going to find you a new client, okay?
All right.
We have Sagan over here. She has this book on polyamory, and she wants to get it out there. So what are you going to tell a new prospective client about how to market her book?
Just call me. No, obviously it's making sure that we're hitting the right audience, right? It is a bit of a specific audience and target that you're going for. Leveraging social is going to be your biggest. That's where really people are going to get. It's a really big impulse buy for you. So building that story out and selling it through social is probably your best way to do it. And then obviously as you build audience, do a little email marketing and kind of get the word out that way. And then you partner with our PR friends and get some PR out there in terms of getting the word out, in terms of the book and the characters, and building those stories out for people so they want to resonate with it and they want to read it.
Yeah, see, we got some advice, Sagan. So what made you, and this is interesting to me, because it's very rare, right? It's a topic that is very rare, but I just happen to have a good friend of mine who's into polyamory, and he's been that way for about, I can tell you, at least 30 years. So it's interesting to have this discussion. So why polyamory? Why this book?
Well, yeah, it's actually a whole series of books. So I've written and published 7 polyamorous rom-coms in the past 2.5 years or so. And really the big thing for me was that it had taken me, nearly 3 decades of my life to realize that I identify as polyamorous. And a big part of it was understanding that it was because we don't see these stories in Hollywood. We don't read about them. If they are portrayed, they're always in a fantasy sort of setting or in a dramatic kind of setting, science fiction, that kind of thing. We don't really see them as contemporary, and we don't see them as these lighthearted sort of experiences. So really the kind of mission around my Polyamorous Passion series is to normalize alternative relationship styles, which comes back again to the whole concept of make your own rules. Mm-hmm. We don't all just need to have monogamous relationships just because that's the way that society has always taught us. There's always going to be different things for different people. So really looking at, what are all of our options? If we're monogamous, are we actively choosing monogamy, or are we just doing that because that's kind of the only option that we've ever heard about? So that's kind of what it's all about, and really looking at how can this be fun, right? How can this be, the dating experiences that my characters have, right? The conversations that they have, it's all very lighthearted. It's all has that sort of comedic lens to it, because we don't need another heavy type of thing, right? It can be fun and it can be lighthearted.
Very interesting. So you created this entire series so you can show this life in a different, that's very interesting. I have so many questions, but I'm running out of time, so I can't even go into half the questions I have. And half the questions I have may not be appropriate for morning viewing. So I'm gonna go over here where it's safe. I'm gonna move back over to Khan. Khan, now, Tell us, I did want to ask this question seriously. With human resources, I believe this industry is one that has suffered in the past year, because for decades, we've had traditional employees in the office. I can see what they're doing. I can see what they're not doing. I can walk over and have a conversation with them and let them know what to do or what not to do. But now when you're in a virtual world, it's like, okay, how do I deal with all of these issues? So have you seen more human resources issues over the past year?
I have, and it's an interesting topic. And I'm grateful for the question, because one of the big ideas that I'm pursuing next to help a lot of my clients is that I'm using the same principles from the Seven Keys to Navigating a Crisis book that was written for individuals for business leaders. And we're taking that as a roadmap to resilience about how do we move forward into this next normal from that piece. And one of the things that I'm exploring is an idea and a concept of the leadership paradox, and educating leaders in all levels of the organization about how to embrace that. And a paradox is nothing more than taking two concepts that are on appearingly on the other end of different ends of the spectrum and kind of synthesizing them in different ways. So the same way that managers traditionally would think, say, you know what, you have to think strategically long-term, but you also have to think tactically in the moment. Well, the same sort of thing applies here, but put it in the context of what we're dealing with in this remote or hybrid world. Some people are at home, some people are in the office. Sometimes your manager is here, sometimes they might be across the world. And you look at that and you say, okay, how do I need to deal with that? Well, here's an example of a paradox. On one hand, we have to be empathetic. I need to be, to show empathy to my team. Nelly is now working surrounded by her kids in a difficult situation in that circumstances. She may or may not have the luxury of having a home office. She may be forced to work around the kitchen table with her kids doing remote schooling, with her husband in her own situation. And all of a sudden we're looking around and we're like a bunch of Eastern European hackers pounding on laptops. So I have to be empathetic to that, that sometimes she may have to be caretaker. Sometimes she has to be mother. Sometimes she has to be teacher. And oh, by the way, she has to be a professional. So on one hand, I have to be empathetic. On the other hand, I have to show tough love to my team. I have to approach them and say, you know what? No, let's set some healthy boundaries for you so you don't burn out. Or you know what? Let's look at this in a more flexible way. Rather than me measuring your success on how many hours were you logged into the computer, I need to look at that and set boundaries and say, here's my expectations. Get this work done and then go play with your kid. Another example would be, look at us right now. I mean, 20 years ago when I was working on this kind of project of remote learning, of remote work, two things were in the way. One was technology. Now we have that. Now we have the high tech that's going to support this kind of work. The second part was trust from management. Managers now were forced to do it because they didn't have a choice. And what they discovered was that people were actually a lot more productive working this way than before. But what was missing was the contact. So what we've had to do is build another paradox that says, use the high tech piece to allow people to be flexible in their working, but use high human touch to be able to connect with people, to reach out and say, you know what? Hey, Sagan, how are you really doing? No. Don't tell me just fine. How are you really doing? And have those moments, because I no longer have that opportunity between the meeting room and the break room to have that 5-minute conversation to catch up with you. I need to create those moments. So those are examples of the leadership paradox that we need to embrace. And that's what I've been working with HR leaders and with organization leaders, because I can guarantee you their biggest concern right now is how do I maintain the mental and physical well-being of my team while keeping my doors open and being productive.
Absolutely. This has been such a great show. Very emotional, very real, honest, open. I love it when shows are like this. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. We only have a few minutes left. But what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Sir Sanju. What do you think of today's show?
It was absolutely awesome. I mean, that the last bit, Khan, was dead on. I mean, beautiful. Well said. You know, you really need to make these longer, because this conversation probably go on for another hour when we notice. But I will leave you guys with a quote for today, which I think is pretty relevant. It says that there is nothing in a caterpillar that tells you it's going to be a butterfly.
I love that.
It resonated well with today's conversation. As for the business side of it, the selfish promotion, askusforanything.com. We are a full service marketing agency and we love to help people see their goals come to life. So please reach out. We do give free consults and we love to meet new friends.
Oh, I love it. Thank you, Sir Sanju. You can't wait until you're back on the show. Sagan, what do you have for us?
Yeah, so I would say that, a really big piece is to tune in and trust yourself, right? You know you best and you know your business best. So trust that and go with it. I also have if you want to learn sort of more about time management, productivity, energy management, I do have a time-saving tips cheat sheet to save 10 plus hours every single week in your business. So you can grab that at saganmorrow.com/save time. And I hang out a lot on Instagram to sort of share about being multi-passionate, productivity, being polyamorous and writing the romantic comedy novels and all that kind of thing. So you can always hang out with me there at Sagan Lives. And thank you so much for having me on the show. This has been so wonderful. You're also, this has just been great.
You are so wonderful. I don't know if I'm ready to come hang out with you, Sagan. You might introduce me to a whole new world and I don't know, I might like it. So we'll see. Khan, what do you have for us?
I like that I'm used as a counterbalance to Sagan. Oh, okay.
You noticed.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to follow Sir Sanju's lead and kind of start my close out with another quote. One of my favorites and one of my guiding quotes is that luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. I would encourage people, keep working on the things that you're passionate about, like we talked about. Keep doing all of that work that most people don't see, especially if you're an entrepreneur. Most people will never see the work that you put into that. But do that preparation work, get ready, and when the opportunity presents itself, you will be there. That's when everybody says, how did he or she get so lucky? They don't know what goes into that piece. So I would encourage people, keep up the good fight, keep doing the work, use this time as a preparation for when things open and when we all become butterflies, Sanju, and we can open up from this closure that we're in right now. Thank you, Sharifa, for having me today here. Thank you to the other panelists for a wonderful conversation. And I'm sending out nothing but love to you guys. And if I can help in any way, Sharifa, we've got a lot of wonderful tools for your audience. If anybody reaches out through LinkedIn, they can find me under Coach Khan, with a K, not a C. And I do that on purpose because it's hard to get people to trust you when you spell it with a C. And then, and then from that, beyond that, Fresh Biz Solutions for any additional tools and resources.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Thank you, Khan. I appreciate you being here. Nelly, I appreciate you for being so authentic and so just a blessing. What do you have for our audience, Nelly?
Anyone who is thinking of starting a business during this global pandemic, if you have the passion, if you have the heart, and if you feel like it's going to help the world, just go for it. It's so easy these days to start businesses online, and we're here to help you. Check us out at www.corpnet.com. We're obviously always there to assist you, guide you, and provide you with a free consultation and help you navigate all the ins and outs and all the documentation needed to start and legitimize your business. And all I can tell you that, if you have an idea is just an idea until you make it into reality. And a business dream is only a dream and an idea until you make it into reality. And you and only you have the power to make that happen. So when you're ready, come to us and we'll help you make your business dreams into a reality.
Well, I'm ready, Nelly. So at 9:01, your phone is going to ring and I'm pretty sure I'm going to get customer service, but I'm saying, no, I want to speak to Nelly because I have some questions. I want to speak to her about how I can expand and grow my business, which is what I'm doing right now. But this has been an amazing show. I loved it. I'm grateful. I thank you all for being here. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. We definitely appreciate your support. We appreciate you for watching. We appreciate you for sharing. But I always ask, please support our guests. Our guests are here with you this morning to share their stories and their business and their journey. So support them. Their website link is in the Facebook post. But I always ask, please don't just visit the website. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Connect to them. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Thank you.